of vein, and what would happen is they would bleed out until there is no more life, and then you would set fire to the burnt offering, and it would burn up until there was nothing left but ashes. And out of all of that, out of what Abraham knew, what it took to sacrifice, out of all of that, by the cutting away, cutting until he bleed out, and by burning him, he still believed that God was able to give him back. He still believed that God was able to give him back in the face of what was going to be so difficult. He trusted God so much that he believed that, God, you ain't never done this before, but I believe you can do it for me. I've never heard of this happening, but I believe that you can do it. Lord have mercy here. What I'm trying to tell somebody, I don't know who it is, but you need to start trusting God. Maybe you don't know anybody that has ever recovered from whatever you have. Maybe you don't know anybody that you can think of that went through what you're going through and came out smelling like a rose. You don't know anybody that's been through the fire like you are in it right now and came out unburned. But guess what? That because you don't know anybody don't mean that God can't do it. Guess what? The God that I serve could do anything but fail, lie, and that I wish I had.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Get your Bibles. As you stand to your feet in honor of the word of the Lord, turn to the book of Job, chapter 23. And I want to look at verse 10. And it is recorded, "But he knoweth the way that I take, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to talk about going from gloom to glory. Going from gloom to glory. This word that Job has recorded here is a powerful word, not just highlighting Job's experience, but giving to the believers in the body of Christ encouragement and an example as Job experiences what he's experiencing, how just because you are saved, just because you are born again, just because you are a believer, does not exempt you from going through stuff.
Amen, amen.
As a matter of fact, I've discovered not only from the Word, but from experience, that the closer you get to God, the more severe your testings become. You have rewards for being close to it. But you also have responsibility to live as a believer so that God gets the glory, and you and those to whom God has assigned your life as an example to get the goods. One of the things that we look at in the text, and our time does not permit for me to deal with this. This is the first of a several-part series in this study today. But beginning at verse 1, we begin to see that Job deals with his predicament.
Yes, sir.
His predicament. You walk further on through the chapter and you're going to find out that he talks about his path. You're also going to see that he also deals with the promise. Because God never ever allows you to have problems without connecting a promise to it.
Amen.
That as you are faithful, that as you go through what God allows and or permits, that you will come through not only with victory in the situation, but with a promise to have God's glory not only revealed in your life, but for your life. There are some things God wants to do in you. He's got to first allow to be done to you. And it is in all of these things that you go through. You wonder, Lord, why am I going through this? Why am I dealing with this? Lord, I try to line up with your word. I try to do what you ask me to do. I try to live right. And it's because you're doing all of that that you're going through.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But I need to tell you that while it might be gloom now, glory is on the way.
Yes.
Touch your neighbor and encourage him and tell him glory is on the way. Because I got news for you. It's a repetitive process. It's a repetitive process because every level has a level of gloom and glory. Gloom and glory. Gloom and glory. Gloom and glory. So you ought to get used to the process, and when you're going through the gloom, you ought to get excited and recognize that glory follows gloom. I've shared with you, even in a dictionary, when you look up the word gloom and you look up the word glory, you see gloom comes before glory in the dictionary. I mean, even the world has figured that out. Now look again, because he deals with his predicament. Verse 1 says, then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Meaning God's hand, or the hand that has been dealt him, is heavier than his groaning. And I want to share with you, because, you know, sometime, you know, saints try to, in their desire to be what God wants them to be, they try to pretend that pain don't live
yet.
Jesus suffered pain, dealt with sorrow, dealt with grief, and he dealt with it in the human flesh. He dealt with it so as to identify with it in the flesh, so that we could never ever say that we dealt with pain greater than Jesus, sorrow greater than Jesus, griefs greater than Jesus, and all of these things. He dealt with those things to show us that you can handle it, you can deal with it, you can make it, because when you experience that, listen, he has already promised in his word, God has declared and decreed that he would never put more on you than you're able to bear. So listen, you're going to bear some pain, you're going to bear some grief, you're going to bear some sorrows, but the bulk of it has already been borne for you. Jesus has already taken care of that. Now listen again, because when you understand this, there are times when your testings are so great that your spirit becomes bitter before it becomes better. I said sometimes your testings and so forth are so great and so strong that your spirit becomes bitter before it becomes better.
Amen.
You're trying to figure out, why am I going through this mess? I don't deserve this. You're right, you might not. But again, you got to realize everything you go through isn't for you.
Amen.
When you belong to God and a servant of God, a vessel of God, God has the ability to allow you and your life to be an example and a light for somebody else to see. Job was, according to the first chapter, was an upright man, the most perfect man in his time. So certainly it wasn't a case of him deserving to go through what he went through. It meant that he was worthy as an example to go through what he's going through. Now look again, look at his predicament. He says, my complaint is bitter, and my stroke, or the hand that's dealt with me, is heavier than my groaning. Look at what he says in verse 3. Oh, that I knew where I might find it, that I might come even to his seat. Now notice here, because in this text, there are two exclamation points. First one is, where can I find him?
Yes.
You know, he said, I just knew where, if I just knew where I could find him. Because that reaches a point in your life, my brothers and sisters, in your predicament. You ain't looking for mama, for daddy, for sister, for brother, for this and that, for him or her. You need to find the Lord in this situation. Because how many of you know, if you find the Lord in your situation, the Lord will take care of your situation? Job is saying, I'm not looking for these friends who are accusing him and bringing all of these judgments against him. He's looking for the righteous judge. If God would just show up in his situation, if he could just talk to God about what he's dealing with, look at what he says. All that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat, meaning the judgment throne, to receive from God. Listen to what he says. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. Now listen at this. You see, he's so close to God because he has relationship with God. Because of his relationship with God, it brings him into another place with God that is an intimate and close-up place where he has a right to say, God, listen, I don't understand why I'm going through what I'm going through. I don't know why I'm dealing with what I'm dealing with. It don't make a whole lot of sense to me, God. He said he's going to order. Listen to what he says. I would order my cause before him. Meaning, I would present my case.
Yeah.
Now, he's saying, listen to this. I don't mind going through what I'm going through. I just want to know why I'm going through it. It would help me to know why you picked me to go through what I'm going through. I could deal with it if I know you weren't angry with me, but it was just a test. I can't figure out. I can't sleep. My eyes are filled with tears. My body is rocking with pain. I could handle it if I just knew why. Y'all ain't hearing me here. See, sometimes you could deal with a whole lot of stuff you're dealing with if you just knew why you were dealing with it. Is it something I've done? Is it some bad decisions I made? Am I paying for something in the past? I'd argue my case before him. Listen to that, because he's saying, I've searched my mind, I've searched my heart, I've searched my inward parts, and this just don't make no sense to me. Have you ever gone through something that just didn't make no sense to you? Well, if you haven't, keep on living. Listen to what he says. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with argument. In other words, I wouldn't let it just stay in my mind. I wouldn't let it just stay in my heart. I would open up my mouth. And listen, this word argument does not necessarily mean that he would refute what God is doing. It simply means he would make clear his complaint. He would just say what it is he's feeling. It's not to be argumentative. It is simply to bring up the fact that if there is a difference between views and opinions, let me tell you how I feel. And then when you tell me how you feel, I'll surrender and submit to what you say, but I want you to know how I'm feeling. It might not change a thing, but I want to tell you. Oh, I wish I had a witness. How many of you know you've been in an argumentative situation and you know you couldn't win, but you just wanted to speak? Oh, can I get somebody to be real today? If I could just tell you what's on my mind and in my, it might not change nothing, but I got to tell you about it. Listen. Verse 5 says, I would know the words which he would answer me. I would. He's dealing with his predicament now. I would know.
Yes, sir.
This thing will make sense to me.
Yes.
even though it don't make no sense now. If he said it, then he would bring sensibility to it. Listen to what he says. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. If he just said, Job, I just want you to go through it. I said, okay, God. If he said, Job, it's because you're not where you ought to be yet. He said, I'd understand. Okay, Lord. He said, Job, I need an example. I need someone that I can show the world what real love is all about. And it's not about the stuff that you love me, but it's because of our relationship. You love me for me, Job. I want them to see. Okay, God, I understand that. I would understand the answer that you give to me, but not saying nothing. Is not helping me. Amen. Look at what he goes on to say. He says, I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? Look at what he answered. It's rhetorical because Job is saying, no. But he would put strength. Listen at what Job knows that you need to know today. Whatever you're going through, God's not using it to tear you down.
That's it.
But God is using it to build you up. Whatever you're suffering, whenever you're in a place, a position of gloom, know that God never uses it to tear you down, but rather to build you up. Don't let the devil take the good that God is allowing through this process to be turned as some wicked hand of God whipping and beating you into a place of pulp. God is trying to show you how you can, if you learn to lean and depend on him, trust and submit to him, that how even through the worst situations of your trying and your testings, what the devil meant for evil, God can turn it around for good. And if you understand that, every test and trial you go through, you will never get into these pity parties thinking, why is this happening to me? Why am I going through this? Lord, why are you allowing this to happen? And it just seems like you're getting beat down. No, sometimes God has to break you in order to remake you, to reshape you. Sometimes he's not satisfied with imperfections in your life. So sometimes he's got to throw you back on the potter's wheel and make you all over.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I know I'm talking to somebody in the house today. He's dealing with his predicament. Look at it. But he knows God is not trying to break him, to destroy him, but rather break him in this process to remake him better than he ought to be. Look at what the verse says. Verse 7. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Look at this. This is powerful. He says, in the presence of God, as it were the throne of God, that's why Job was seeking God, because he says, in his presence, before his throne, the righteous can reason. The righteous can reason.
Amen, amen, amen.
See, you got some folk who have judged you.
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
Who will not sit down and reason with you.
Yes, yes.
See, there are some folk who called you guilty and don't even have all the facts.
Yes, yes.
There are some folk who don't like you and ain't got no cause. There are some people who put you on that list and you haven't done a thing but exist. And see, there are some people you'll never ever be able to change their mind because they won't let you sit at the table of negotiations and hear their complaint and you give to them yours and y'all reason it out because they don't want it to be no better than it is. There are some people who's already stamped doomed on your life and they don't care how good you are, they want to see that come to pass. Oh, but he said, if I could just get to the righteous judge. I just want to talk to the man who knows all the facts.
who knows the whole story. Yes, maybe I slipped. Yes, maybe I messed up. But I want somebody who knows why I slipped, why I messed up, and is not just trying to put the penalty on me at greatest punishment just because they don't like me. Look at what he says. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered for how long? Forever from my judge. Look at verse 8. Behold, focus it now. I go forward. But he is not there. Now look at this. Look at the first position of Job in his search for God. You see, our problem is when we start searching for him is we go back with, Lord, what I done? We go in the past. We go to now that has a place, and don't underestimate the fact that the past has a place. But your first position of seeking God should not be in the past, but in front of you. So look at his position. He says again that he does what? I go forward, but he is not there. And then he says, and back. Well, maybe I've gotten ahead of God. Let me backtrack here. But look at what he goes on and says. But I cannot perceive him. I don't sense him in this situation. I want to throw out parenthetically that God ain't in everything. I said God is not in everything. And there are some things when you really see God. Listen, God is not in evil. But he allows or permits evil to help your situation develop and to define you into the character that he really wants you to be. He's not in sickness. But he for a moment may permit sickness again so that his glory might come forth and your good might shine as well. There are some things God is not in, but he permits. He allows. And when you understand some things that you're going through, God isn't in that stuff. But God has allowed it because he knows what the end result is going to be for you. Look again at what he says. He says, verse 9, on the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. Now, he recognizes in the midst of this, and I want you to see this, and I want you to hear this very closely and clearly. When you seek God and cannot find God, don't make the mistake that God is not present. Now listen at this. I want you to see this and understand this, because if you do, it'll help you going through your gloom on your way to your glory. There are times that though God is present, he is not perceived. In other words, there are times in your situation that you can't see God. But God sees you. And here's what you need to know. Even when you can't see him, don't get yourself worked all up. Because it ain't really about you seeing him.
Come on now.
Because the record is his eye is on the sparrow. And if he watches over a little bird, if he knows every hair that's on some of y'all heads, if he knows every bit of what it takes to make you you, then know for sure that there's nothing that can happen to you that God does not see, that God does not ordain, that God does not allow. And if he's allowing it to happen to you, trust me when I tell you, he's watching over every step of the operation. Devil can't sneak nothing up on you that hadn't been pre-approved by God. So while you can't see God because of your circumstances, God can see you because of what he's permitted you to go through. God is always watching over you and the devil who's dealing with you to make sure that the devil don't put more on you than you can bear. You can't see God, but God can see you. So if God can see you, how much better is it to know that you are always watched over, always cared for, always protected, always provided for, because God can see you in your every situation. Now, in fact, Job says, even though I can't find him, look at what he goes on to say in verse 10. But he knoweth the way that I take when he hath tried me. I shall come forth as gold. I can't see him, but he sees me. I can't find him, but he's already found me. I can't put my hands on him. I can't go to where his presence is. And Job didn't know a whole lot of things that we know now and have the benefit of the word to know. So we can never be in the predicament Job is in without the knowledge if we know the word and know how God operates. And Job was one of the first examples of understanding how God deals with his children and the righteous, and understanding that the righteous are the one God chooses for the trials. I said the righteous are the ones God chooses for the trials. If you aren't going through no trial, you aren't righteous enough for God to choose you as a subject to go through. If you ain't never, if your life is just peaceful, flowery bed of ease, never have no problems, everything just works out always, you never have no situation, don't think it's because you live in that right. I can walk through the word and show you the closer you get to him, the more you're going to go through, and the more things at one time he's going to permit to come against you, because the closer you get to him, the more glory is revealed in you. And so God knows that the devil has you on his hit list when you are a threat to the kingdom of Satan. See, if you're no threat to the kingdom of Satan, Satan said, no, don't bother him. We got bigger fish to fry. Don't bother her. She ain't causing no trouble. She just trying to look cute and going through doing her stuff. She ain't no threat to this kingdom whatsoever. She look like a saint. She carry a Bible like a saint. He look like a saint. He dressed like a saint. They go to church like a saint. They ain't no threat to the king. Mm-mm, don't bother him. Let's try and get them, these other folk who are praying, living, studying, walking in the word, walking in the will, understanding the way, who are being dealt with and dealing blows to my king. Let's deal with them. Yes. And so if you're one of those soldiers, if you're one of those persons who are dealing, who deals with and are dealing with the things that the enemy brings against you for living for Christ, know that it is only going to serve for your benefit and for your blessings that God has revealed and shall reveal in you in this earth realm. Look again at what he says, because I want you to see this as I bring this to a close for this hour. But he knoweth the way that I take. He now talks about his path. He was dealing with his predicament, but his predicament led him to the revelation that God knows my path.
Yes, sir. Yes.
He not only knows his path, but it is revealed in further scriptures that God knows his plans.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen, amen.
Now listen at this, because God has the plans.
Yes.
And he knows the path. He knows, first of all, what's in his plans, not only for you, but concerning you. He knows what path you're going to take in order to succeed and end up where God wants you to. Because your path, and again, I need the saints to understand this, every believer's path is customized.
Yes, sir.
Because your path, God knows which one you're going to take. You might change courses and have not understood why you made this change so suddenly. Didn't think on, didn't meditate on it. But you got to know this, that God knew every step.
Yeah,
yeah.
Ever changed your mind and didn't know why you changed your mind?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, just something came on, just made sense. Turn right, and you turn right, and went down this way. And whatever happened or didn't happen, God knew about it before you ever took that turn on that path.
Yeah,
it's because he knows the path you take. You can't lose God. You can't outrun God. You can't get to a place that God does not. You know, they just, this technology of a GPS, global positioning system, God been having that on his children. Matter of fact, Jeremiah revealed that before he ever got in the world, while he was yet in his mother's womb, God had GPS out on him. He knew where he was, and while he was yet there, God ordained him.